Good morning, and welcome once again to Dispensational Bible Church. For those who are viewing on Facebook, and soon we'll have it on YouTube also, we'll welcome you to where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way. That's our little motto, where we study the whole Bible. A lot of people, you know, we do have to study the whole Bible because all of it's for us, but not all of it's to us. And that's 2 Timothy 3:16-17, the Bible's own way. And that's 2 Timothy 2:15, where we rightly divide the word of truth. And that's truth from truth. Every page in this book, in the King James Bible, is the word of truth. And we have to rightly divide the word of truth. We know that we divide truth from error all the time. We point out to our children sometimes, you're being bad. Well, how do you know? Because you're doing bad. We're going to tell you what's bad. We're going to tell you what's good. But I also think that every one of us has a God conscience inside of us that is trying to do good. But what do we know about doing good when it comes to salvation? You can't do good. You can't go to church long enough and every day in your life to be right with God. So, in other words, you had to trust that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again for our salvation. And when by trusting that and that alone, he puts us in a body. He seals us. Sure he's checking the audio out there. But anyway, we know that we trust Christ Jesus died for your sins and buried and rose again. And in doing so, he places you in a body. He seals you. And he secures you until the day of redemption. He takes us out of here. So with that being said, we are meeting here in the Cambridge area. We're soon to have flyers out and push it out in the area. We do have Denzel and Nancy here with us today. And they come down, I guess it took you about an hour and 15 minutes.
Up to 25 after 8.
You went on a sightseeing tour, though, didn't you? Not that bad, but it's good to see them. We haven't seen them in a while, and Denzel's doing well. He had some issues with cancers, and so I'm sure that Nancy's been helping him out, and it's been a struggle, I'm sure. Yeah, but y'all look great. It's good to see you. Some other people come down and visit every other Sunday when they can. But with that being said, keep our prayer requests. Keep Denzel in thought and prayer. Keep Maggie's son, Billy. My half-brother and half-sister lost their mom yesterday due to cancer. Just keep them up in thought and prayer. Barb and Walt still hanging in there. Barb emailed me and said she watched on Facebook or YouTube our last lesson. So that's awesome. We keep you that's tuning in today, thoughts and prayers. Keep our leadership in thought and prayer. It don't seem good out there, you know, especially when you turn on the media and everybody's attacking everybody. Well, we know what that accomplishes. Division, doesn't it? It really nothing good of it. So we need to be focused on who we are in Christ Jesus. But at the same time, I'm going to be honest with you, I do not water down the Word of God, okay? I do not pretend to be hunky-dory or kumbaya with other religions. Paul tells us to expose dishonesty and things like that. So if we're going to do that religiously, we can also do it politically. So I would suggest that you search your heart and search who you are and make some decisions in the coming months and all. So keeping thought and prayer, Ridge Farm Bible Conference is in September 11th and 12th. That's next month. I think Sherry and I will be traveling out there. If you want more information, you can contact Morris at 217-497-5647. You can also message me if you want more information on that. But that's Ridge Farm Bible Conference, and I think Brother Richard and David Reed and Alan Reagan's going to be there along with Morris and a lot of other saints. So keep that in thought and prayer. Many's asked about supporting. We have on our website, we have a donate button. That type of thing. You can come and see us. We do have a post office box here, post office box 592, Cambridge, Ohio, 43725. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with that being said, we can continue. You can message me, email me. I encourage you to do so. It encourages me with questions and comments and all. So we do thank you for that. With that being said, let's go to the word in prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the time. We thank you for the things you've given us freely through your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we lift up our prayer requests and praise items, Lord, we know that you tell us to make all things known to you. And in doing so, it gives us peace, and peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's what we need in this dark world, that the peace and understanding and security. And Lord, we know we can find that in you, and we thank you for that. And we ask as we continue the lesson in Daniel that we may continue to glean something from what Daniel understood and was telling the nation Israel in ages to come. But also we can maybe look at some things that in the times of Gentiles, what's going on that has not changed since then. But Lord, we thank you for the word that we have it in our possession. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me get over here. Be turning to Daniel chapter 11. We're in Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. And we thank you once again for tuning in via the Facebook. For those who are watching. We are in lesson 69, and Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 through 38. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and speak marvelous things against the God of gods. You see that big G there? That's God the Father. Of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of woman, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he be honored the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall be honored with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. Now remember back when we left off last lesson, verse 37, he shall not regard the God of his fathers. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that indication is the passage would be the Antichrist as a what? A Gentile or a Jew? A Jew. He has to be a Jew there, because how else is who's going to follow him? The nation Israel is going to follow him. So he has to come up within there. And in order to him be able to say the God of his fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And notice once again, the God is the big G. So it's the God Almighty. And in verse 36, it says gods of gods, which is God Almighty. Okay, he's the God of God. Isn't Jesus Christ going to be Lord of Lord, King of Kings? The same principle here. And that will make the Antichrist an Assyrian Jew. Now, Assyrian is not Syria, the country per se, but it's Assyrian. He's in that area. He's an Assyrian Jew. It says, nor desire of women. Now, that is God the Son. The Messiah that came from the woman, the Jewish lineage there. In other words, he has no respect for God the Father or God the Son. Now, I know a dear brother down in Tennessee, he's gone, passed on now. He's talking about the desire of a woman. He's like a homosexual. He has no desire of a woman. I'm like, well, I could buy that too. You know, he's just who he is. He don't have no desire of a woman. He likes males type of thing. But if you want to just leave it like it is, he don't want to regard God the Father and God the Son, the Messiah. How did he show up? Through the woman, yeah. Through the woman, the seed of a woman. That's something you never heard of. That's another wonderful thing that God said, through a seed of a woman. Well, we know women don't have seeds. So anyway, this is something very, very, very special. Now, the Jews in the tribulation, they have understanding, will be able to take those books and they will know where they're at. Now, when we talk about those books, we're referring to Hebrews through Revelation over here. Okay? Every dispensation has a set of books. And when you look at the dispensation and prophecy and mystery, we're in a dispensation of grace. That's the dispensation of kingdom. That's the dispensation of law. Well, from Genesis through Malachi, even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and half part of Acts is under the law. You can't mistake that. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he was under the law, made under law, okay? And we know he fulfilled that law at the cross. But then you got the books of Romans through Philemon in the dispensation of grace. We take those books as dispensationalists. We study those books and understand what God is doing today. Much like they took Genesis through Malachi. They understood what God was doing, like Daniel's talking about. Now, when there's more books written to the nation Israel, Hebrews through Revelation, they're going to be able to take those books, starting with Hebrews, and take that as a book of doctrine to them and understand where they're at, understand who their Messiah is, understand that the Antichrist is not the God. But we know through Daniel and know through what Paul's talking about, the Antichrist is going to rise up, and we'll look at that in a few minutes, and he's going to be as God. He's going to sit on the throne and pretend he's God. Now, as a Bible believer, you know he's not the God. Amen? So, they will get it, and they will know what is going on. A Bible believer over here, just like I said this, I'll say it 1,000 times. You today, as a Bible-believing Christian that understands the Word of God rightly divided, you can understand what God is doing today. You should know what His will is. You should know what His purpose is. You should know what you are in the body of Christ. Not in the kingdom program. Not in the earthly program. But you're still here, aren't you? We're light in a dark world out there. It's dark out there, isn't it? It's been dark since Jesus Christ left this world. You got to remember that. When he was in this world, there was light, wasn't they? Where's the light at now? Not only in heavenly places, but it should be in you and I. See? And when we get together corporately, we're glowing, and the light goes out, and the flag goes up and say, hey, we're preaching truth here. Now, Daniel chapter 11, verse 38a, but in his estate shall he honor the God of what? Forces. Now notice that he will not pay attention, as we noticed, to God the Father, nor God the Son, but he's going to honor, who's the God of forces? Think about that for a second. Prince of Power of the Air. He's going to honor the devil. That's who, remember? Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Satan is called the God of forces. He is the God of this world. He is one who will be able to give the Antichrist the world. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4 and get Luke chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. And if you want to, put something in Genesis chapter 3 and 1 John chapter 2. Got fingers, got toes, got elbows. But we'll start with Matthew chapter 4 with this. Matthew chapter 4. Now, he will honor the devil. And in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, many people may not know that Satan is the god of this world. He's a little g. And he offered the Lord Jesus, he offered the world to the Lord. And he's still the god of this world today. Okay? And a lot of people say, well, he's Jesus. He could do anything. Yes, he could have done anything. But he did not dispute, when we look at this, he did not dispute to Satan, the devil, saying, you ain't the god of this world, I'm the god. Okay? So you got to understand some things here that I hope it will lead up to where we're at in Daniel. But Matthew chapter 4, now, the book of Matthew is written, how does it portray Jesus Christ, the book of Matthew? As king. So in order of Matthew is portraying Jesus Christ as king. In order to be a king, you've got to have a what? A kingdom. Okay? Were they a kingdom on earth that Jesus Christ rode right in and they said, here, our king, Messiah, let's glorify him. They were still waiting on the king, and he shows up. They still refused him. So Matthew is written about a kingdom over there. So when you read and study the book of Matthew, which many of you do, many of you take it literal as it's saying it's today, but it's actually for ages to come over here, what Jesus Christ is talking about. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward what? As an hunger. Now in Matthew chapter 3, he gets baptized. He fulfills all righteousness. He becomes a part of that priesthood. Okay, like John the Baptist was. He was a priesthood. You had to be ceremonially cleansed, just like Moses told him over in Exodus 19, 3 and 6, that there's going to be a kingdom of priests. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to become a part of that, identified with John the Baptist. That's why he was baptized, to be identified with that priesthood. That's why he's fulfilling all righteousness. Then, verse 2. I read to verse 2. Now, hold your finger there and go to Genesis chapter 3. And if you want to get 1 John chapter 2, that's fine. But you need to see something here. Okay? Remember in Genesis chapter 3, who shows up in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3 in the garden? Satan. Okay? He comes to them. He's already here. And he noticed something of what God the Father, God the Creator, was doing on this earth. He forms man out of the dust of the ground. He puts him on this earth to replenish it and have dominion over it and subdue it. So there's a question I posed out there. Man, Adam, was supposed to be prophet, priest, and king for that kingdom. Okay? We know what happened, don't we? Okay? Eve was deceived, and Adam made a choice. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, underline it, and it was pleasant, underline it, to the eyes, and the tree to desire to make one wise, underline it, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, you should keep these two verses in line, because this is going to go out through from the time Adam and Eve have fallen all the way over here in this kingdom program. This is going to affect mankind. Not only the nation Israel, it's going to affect you and I. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Isn't that, wouldn't you think that's a good verse, right? If you love the world, you can't love the Father. You with me? Okay. Many of us love the world. I enjoy the world. I enjoy the things I'm looking at. I enjoy, just the other day, I put out a little deer cam in the back 40 back here, and there's deer back there. And I'm thinking, yes, I'm waiting. There's no buck yet. But there's a doe and the two little fawns, and they're like, and there's two raccoons in the picture too. So I'm like, where do they come from? But anyway, I enjoy the world, and we can enjoy the world. But this world is not our conversation, is it? You know, this type of thing. But it says, verse 16, where are we going? For all that is in the world, underline this, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, underline, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the what? World. There's a worldly system out there that is producing the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. You believe that? I sure do. Boy, you can get puffed up in a lot of things. Now, with them, when those two verses, think about this. When you think about the food in Genesis chapter 3, it goes with the flesh and lust of the flesh. Food, you got to feed me. So you got to feed my flesh, right? When you think of the pleasant in Genesis 3:6, you got to think about the eyes. Okay, look what, boy, that looks beautiful. You got a shiny car out there, Denzel. Boy, that looks beautiful. You know what I mean? Mine's old, nasty, muddy, lusted eye. You know, the pleasant. Boy, it sure looks, got a beautiful wife type thing. You know, that, but look, then you think of wise. The wise, make one wise, you think pride of life. Look at me, beat my chest, I'm prideful, okay? If you don't think prideful and wise has connection, you're thinking wrong, aren't you? Because you know any people that thinks they're wiser than the Word of God? You think the verse in Romans talks about professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, right? The pride. So, go back to Matthew chapter 3. This is what's going on in here, guys, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, you think he knew he was the Son of God? You know he did. Command that these stones be made what? Bread. Just like Genesis and 1 John, food feeds the what? Didn't we just read he's 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness and he's still hungered? Wouldn't that loaf of bread look awful good right now? Yes. Many people sold their souls for a loaf of bread, right? You know, that type of thing. But, by the way, in ages to come, what we're going to go down through over here, and God does do what Satan is tempting the Lord with in Revelation chapter 12. We already compared some things like that. In Revelation chapter 12, who goes to the wilderness? The sheep, Israel. Who feeds them? God. When they come out of Egypt over there, who fed them? How? Manna, bread, okay? Everything that Satan's trying to tempt Jesus Christ with, he's going to do eventually. So just keep that in mind. But right now is not the time to do it. So what does Jesus say? But he answered and said, it is what? Written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I posed another question not so long ago. What is the first word spoken by Jesus Christ after he was baptized as John? It is written. That's the first thing he says. And you're thinking, wow, he's using the Word of God. Shouldn't we be using the Word of God on certain things? Yes. So I'm like, he's God. You know, he's going to use the written Word of God. So, verse 5. Then the devil take him up unto the holy city, and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, now he's still poking at him, ain't he? He's still tempting him. Cast thyself down, for it is what? Who's using the Word of God now? Satan. So you don't. If you think, well, let's keep moving. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Now you know what it's saying there. If Jesus Christ decides to jump off that pinnacle, who's going to pick him up? The angels are not going to let him hit the ground. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's God. But this is pleasant with the eyes. And what did Satan just do? It is what? He's using scriptures against God Almighty in the flesh. You don't think that God... Satan will use scriptures against you? Yes, he will. That's why you better rightly divide the word of truth, because if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to fall into that trap. You're going to play Russian roulette with the word of God. You're going to spin the word of God, whatever verses lands on. Stone the children. We probably all like that. You know, that no. You know what I mean? We need to understand rightly divided word of truth. We need to understand that Satan has ministers out there who will use the Word of God. Many of you right now has come out of denomination, religious systems that you was a part of the system that believed every word was to you and for you. But how do you believe it now? Isn't all the Bible for us? But is it all to you? No. When you take it to you, once again, you're going to be spiritualizing with spiritual eyes, and you're going to have to tell spiritual lies to get through that. Look, he is going to use the word and try to trick the Lord. Remember Genesis chapter? How did he trick Adam and Eve? Yea, hath God not said? See what I'm talking about? That's why you better listen. I'm a firm believer that when that happened in that garden, you had Satan was there with other gods, for one. Okay? Two, you had God Almighty, God the Father, and you had Adam and Eve. And that introduced what? Human viewpoint. Don't ever forget that, guys. Because you can say there is no God, you can say there is no devil. My viewpoint matters. Isn't that similar to what institutions are doing today? You know, you can't walk in there with God the Creator in your hands. You better have it in your heart. But you walk in there, you can't use that, but guess what they're going to do? They're going to introduce you as God. I'm proud. Okay, verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up unto the exceeding high mountain and showeth him, underline it, all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He is taking, Satan's showing Jesus Christ all the glories of the kingdoms over here, of the world. Okay? This is where the pride and wise come into. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou fall down and worship me. Verse 10, and saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shall they serve. Only thou serve. Now, Revelation chapter 12, the kingdom becomes Lord. But who's got the kingdoms at this time? See, he is the God of this world. That has not changed, people. He's got kingdoms up there. I'll never forget that when Joshua and the tribes of Israel was going across the Jordan into the Promised Land, there's 2.5 tribes had their inheritance on that side of the Jordan. And they agreed to go with Joshua and them across the Jordan River to fight. And there were strongholds in that land of Palestine. And there was at least 6 of them there that was very mean. And they were named. And they're vicious. And you can consider those as satanic strongholds. And Joshua was supposed to go in there and wipe them completely out, leave nothing. You know what happened, don't you? Well, let's keep this. Let's just take that. Nobody know. Guess what happened? They began part of that system. That's what happened to Israel. Okay, they became a part of the fall, Satan system. If you don't watch it, you're part of the Satan system out there. Once again, he's got people out there that's ministers of light. Satan does. They'll twist the scriptures. Now, the same account I told you to turn to Luke chapter 4. You in Revelation 2? Get Revelation 13. Luke chapter 4. And we'll go back to Daniel just a second. Luke chapter 4 is the same account. Now look, the same account Luke chapter 4, by the way, Luke chapter 4, this is a dispensational issue is going on, what we just talked about in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. This is about the dispensation of kingdom, not the dispensation of grace in which we live in today. When Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, it's concerning the dispensation of the kingdom over here. Okay? Paul, God through Paul, we're in a dispensation of grace. This has nothing to do with us. It's a dispensational issue. Verse 6, Luke chapter 4, verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whosoever I will give it. Whoa. Who's saying this? The
devil.
And what is he saying? The power I will give thee, and the glory of them, For that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. The god of this world, Satan, has the power to give that kingdom to anybody he wants to. How is that? Adam gave up the deed to the earth. He's also the prince of power of the air. Okay, he first and second heaven. That's what we call him, prince of power of the air in Ephesians. He's a god of this world. He had Christ upon the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all this stuff belongs to me and I will give it to whoever I want to. That's still, you know, like, wow, that man's powerful. That creature is powerful. And he's convinced people and continue to convince people. You want to run the world? You have to get it from who? You know, we read stories and see movies about people selling their souls, don't we? To get whatever they want to. I believe that could happen. I believe you could just totally just go for this world system. And what usually happens to these people? They're down to nothing, begging. You know, they want that high mighty status in Hollywood and places like that. And next thing you know, you turn around and they look so awful, don't they? You know, just awful. You know, Satan was, when Lucifer was created as a beautiful what? Cherubim, what, an angel, okay? And when he fell and went through that deep up there, he became a gross-looking creature with seven heads. That's what that fall had done for him. And that's why Paul talks, God says, when you die the second death and you go to hell where the worm, where the fires never quench and the worm dieth what? He says that three times. That's a process, a refining process, where you're just going to turn into an old maggot worm down there. And it's not going to end. It's forever down there. And he runs the political structure of the world and he has a religious system. Okay? Remember, we studied in the book of Daniel, well, we're in the book of Daniel, back times ago when Israel fallen politically, God gets up. Let me put it this way, if I can remember it. Israel was the only nation that God chosen on this earth, and they was political in the world, right? There was no other nation knew God, and all the nations around them knew who Israel was because of God, right? God left them politically. He gets up from the mercy seat, he goes to the threshold, and goes out to the mountainside politically. That's when they fallen. Okay? And they for 70 years they was in Babylon, okay, captivity. And what Daniel's sharing here, the end of captivity is over with, and he's looking for that future over there. But they also fell spiritually. John the Baptist comes on the scene, God the Father. God the Father sent John the Baptist. What did they do to him? Strike one. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, Son of Messiah, what did they do? We have no king but who? Caesar. What did they do to him? Strike two. Stephen, son of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. What did they do to him? Strike three. They had fallen. That's what the book of Acts is. It describes the fall of Israel. Okay? You don't place your doctrine in the book of Acts. It's like shifting sand. It explains the fall of Israel until they get down here in Acts 28 and the unsaved Israelites, not the little flock, they're saved. Okay? But the ones that didn't get in that kingdom program, they're down here with the Gentiles, lost. And that's why Paul goes to the heathen. They're all heathen to Paul. You know, he goes to the synagogues, and guess what? There's heathen in there. Because what's he trying to do? Reason them out of Scripture who Jesus Christ was. But let me finish here. They had fallen over here, so God... Satan has the domain. He's the god of this world, and he's also the god of the prince of power of the air. Revelations 13, verse 2 says this. Revelations 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as a mouth of a lion. Now, what this describes is a composite beast, that behemoth, if you will. That's the Antichrist. That's what he's going to look like. And the dragon, that's Satan, gave him his power and his seat and the great authority. So he gets his power, the Antichrist, from the devil. And the God of forces is Satan. And he is one who is able to give the Antichrist the kingdoms of the world. He's going to have power, guys. Well, he's got power now.
He can give it to anybody he wants.
That's what we said. We read, didn't we? Go back to... let's get Revelation 18 and go back to Daniel chapter 11. So in Daniel chapter 11, verse 38b, he honors the God of forces, and the God whom his fathers knew not shall be honored with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for what? Gain. Now, if you think about, knew not shall be he honored with gold, silver, and precious stones. You ever heard that before? Gold, silver, and precious stones? Aren't that what we're supposed to be? Gold, silver, precious stones? Forever. That's what's going to endure. Precious stone. You won't. That's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We broke this down in times past before. If you got the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding of what God is doing, that equivalates to gold, silver, and precious stones, and you're going to be placed up there in the heavenly places. But he's honoring these guys with gold of earthly stuff. So once again, who's using scriptures here? Now, by the way, in verse 39, he talks about he shall cause them to rule them, to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. The them there, if you remember, we talked about that in chapter 2, are the 10 toes. And we talked about the iron mixed with clay. Now, Brother Charlie mentioned some iron mixed with clay. He thinks it's the Israelites over there mixing with the clay, the false gods, which makes sense. But there's about the, it's what this is though is about the satanic connection with the ten toes and the supernatural kind of thing. The them in verse 39 are probably those 10 kings. And that connection with there being there, with the fallen angels being connected with them, that strange God, Satan and his angels, and the connection in those kingdoms. You know, we talked about before about the giants of the land, and will the giants show back up over here? You know, very well could be. If Satan and his angels come back to earth, couldn't they make giants again? And those giants, those 10 kings are big humanoids people, the people's following them, that type of thing. You know, it's possible. But another cross-reference to that word gang, I told you to go to Revelation chapter 18. Look at verse 9. Good cross-reference to the word gain. What's they going to gain? And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live, was it deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thou judgment come. It's not going to take long, is it? 1 hour. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold, silver, and precious stones, and pearls, and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and twine, and wood, and all manner verses vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of precious wood, and all brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariot and slaves and souls of men. They're going to lose all that stuff. Who's the merchant? Who's merchandising? If you remember Ezekiel, who comes in merchandise selling things? Satan, the Antichrist, Pharaoh, all them people out there. Remember the big tree that comes up. Okay, they're selling things for gain, but they're going to lose it. All them people that was following the Antichrist over there, all them kingdoms are going to lose this. Go back to Daniel chapter 11, verse 40. And get Ezekiel chapter 38. Am I going too fast? Well, you can drop everything but Daniel chapter 11 and get Ezekiel chapter 38. I was going to say for $3.99 you can get this tape. Just joking, guys. It's on our website, and it'll be on our website as long as they keep it up there, I guess. Might be a day when they're going to control that, and you won't. The only time we're going to get it, if we get under a tree somewhere and continue to believe. Hey, by the way, doesn't matter what dark age you're in, you're still going to find Bible-believing people getting together, believing their Bible. This Word of God is never going to disappear. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 38. Daniel chapter 11, verse 40 says, And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, and chariots, and with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and overpass. Now look. Ezekiel chapter 38. I know Denzel and I was talking a little bit about the king of the north and Russia and the United States and, you know, that type of thing. So look, Ezekiel chapter 38 says this, verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesied and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shall thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, and a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against the people of Israel, against my people of Israel, as a cloud to cover the land. So it's going to be a mighty army, right? It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, and the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants of the prophet of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years, that I will bring thee against them. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. There's going to be a war, guys, over there. And the king of the south shows up again, and we already talked about this thing. See, there's a king of the north and a king of the south. Who's in between? Who on the map? Israel. And the king of the north is Syria. And the king of the south is Egypt. And the king of the south comes up and tries to attack Israel. What does the king of the north do? Comes down and protects Israel and say, hey, we're your buddy. Okay? That's the Antichrist type of thing. The king of the south goes back up, shows up again, and there begins to be a battle between the Antichrist and the other kings involved there. That's what this is talking about. And that is where you have from verse 41 to the end of the chapter. The Antichrist is going to be fighting those other kingdoms. Verse 41. back in Daniel and get Isaiah chapter 16. I'm trying to keep you ahead a little bit. Daniel chapter 11, verse 41. He shall enter also into the glorious land, that's Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. Wait a minute. Wouldn't you think Edom and Moab, would you think they'd be friendly people or good people? They're going to escape what God's going to do there. Edom and Moab are not going to be destroyed by the Antichrist in this war. Okay? Why? Look at Isaiah chapter 16. Isaiah chapter 16. You might as well get Jeremiah chapter 48 too. I got you going this morning, guys. Isaiah chapter 16. Isaiah chapter 16, verse 1. Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land of Selah, to the wilderness, and to the mountain of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of her nest, out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be the forbs of iron. Take counsel, execute judgment, might thou shadows as the night in the midst of the noonday hide the outcast. Beway not him that wandereth. Let my outcast dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a convert to them from the face of the spoiler, for the extortioner is at the end, the spoiler cease, the oppressor are consumed out of the land. See what's going on? He's telling Moab, hey, you're going to help somebody over here. That extortioner, that spoiler is coming down, but you're not going to be a part of this. The idea is the godly remnant in the first half of the week will be hiding out in the wilderness, will be hiding in Moab. So when the battle takes place in Daniel chapter 11, Edom and Moab escapes because God protects them in Edom and Moab. You with me? The little remnant that runs out of the wilderness, Israel runs out in the wilderness, they're going to go to those places and hide. Well, if the Antichrist is going down there to destroy, make war, would they have a place to hide? Would Israel have a place to hide? No. There's an interesting prophecy about Moab, and the passage is referenced to the Antichrist. Go to Jeremiah chapter 48. Jeremiah chapter 48. This is some interesting verses. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 24. And if I don't pronounce these words correctly, you can pronounce them in your own mind correctly. But, and upon Kiroth, and upon Bozroth, and upon all the cities in the land of Moab, far or near, the horn of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, saith the Lord. You ever heard that before? We talked about this. His arm is cut off. His arm is broken. Just like Zechariah 11 indicates will be the situation of who? The Antichrist. Zechariah 11, you know, the Antichrist, his arm is cut and his eyes put out. Now, Korath, if I'm pronouncing that right, let's say if I am. By the way, is Judas Iscariot. The word Iscariot means the man of Korath. Korath. That's the same place, by the way. Verse 28. Jeremiah chapter 48, 28. And now all ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the whole mouth. The idea is the remnant will be hiding in the territory, and God is going to protect them. So Edom and Moab escapes because of hiding the remnant. You with me? That's where they're going to hide when they run to the wilderness. You know something that you would not know if you was in that tribulation period over there? How would you know where to go? You would have to know. Would you blindly follow the goat off the cliff? Many of them will, right? They're going to be following the goat, the Antichrist. But you're going, I don't want to say you personally, but they, Israel, is going to have the Word of God. And grant you, there's going to be a little gap period after we're taken out of here, and 144,000 priests of Israel from each tribe are going to be preaching about that Antichrist and what to look for, and they're going to be using the Scriptures. That's why the book of Hebrew for them is a book of doctrine. What's the book of doctrine for us today in the body of Christ? Romans. It's not the first book that Paul wrote, but it's the first book of doctrine. It explains about justification, sanctification, glorification, application, okay? That type of thing. That's doctrine for us. They're going to have to understand Hebrews to be doctrine for them. It's going to explain who the Messiah is and what that type of thing. Back to Daniel chapter 11. I'm trying to find a good place to end. So if I end abruptly and you want more, you just have to come back next week. Lesson 70. But anyway, 11:42. He shall stretch forth his hand upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He's going to go down and defeat the king of the south. That's Egypt. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and all the precious things in Egypt, and the Libyans and Ethiopians shall be at his steps. He will take them over. Okay. Verse 44. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas of the glorious mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. It's coming down the pike, ain't it? See, who's the father of lies? He's still today denying what the end will be. And if he can convince you that you're going to live forever in his kingdom, you will live forever in his kingdom if you're lost. You're going to die. Once again, you're going to die. Everybody's going to die. If God takes us out of here right now, this body's going to die. So the Scripture says it's appointed for man to die what? And then what? The judgment. You don't want to die the second death. Amen? And there is the only unpardonable sin that you can commit today is to die unsaved. If you die unsaved, me and Denzel cannot pray you out of hell. I'm sorry. And listen, I know we talked about this in time. All our loved ones that's passed before us, we can't help them, guys. Our hope is that they did trust Christ Jesus died, right? Amen? And that we will see them again. But we can't dwell on that, can we? We need to dwell what's going on right now. And you and I have got loved ones that are on the fence. You know, I don't know what to believe. Well, believe the Word. You can have faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? Word of God. His end is described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 19 as being destroyed by the brightness of Christ's coming and consumed by the spirit of His mouth, and then they're cast in the lake of fire. And nobody's going to stop that. Those people over there are going to run and hide under rocks. It ain't going to help them. Listen, you and I can escape wrath to come today. You got to do something simple. You may not understand it, but the thing is, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You hear that, yeah, I'm a sinner. I think we all know that. You know, like I said before, you got a God conscience inside of you that's pointing for God. Your soul is always pointing for God. But if you keep rejecting and keep rejecting it, it builds a callus. Okay? Pharaoh did that over in Egypt. You know that? He let Egypt them go, didn't he? He's like, no, go get them back. He callous. His heart was hardened. He hardened it himself. And that's what happens to many of us today. Our pride lifts up. We don't want to do it. And then sometimes on our deathbed, we finally come to the realization that I need the Lord Jesus Christ. Will He save you on your deathbed? Amen. Yes, He will. But think about now. Just think about now and the fact that you can be saved from the wrath to come. You can be a part of a body of Christ, what God is doing today. You can be seated in heavenly places. You can be part of a program that was spoken before the world began. And something special. You know, many of us are called peculiar. They look at you and I studying the Word of God the way we study. You're peculiar. That's what God says we are. Some of us special, like Special Ed. That's me. But anyway, everybody can't be Special Ed. But you are special to me, okay? But the thing is, we want to share a gospel today that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. You trust that and that alone, God saves you. You may not understand it. He saves you. Then you get in the books of Romans through Philemon, and you start reading that, and you start believing that, and you start... You can read 3 chapters a day in Romans. Paul's epistles, he wrote 13... and go through his whole epistles in 29 days. That's not bad. Three chapters a day. Over and over and over. And you're building that doctrine up inside of you. Building that doctrine up inside of you. You're like, whoa, wow, I feel different. I'm starting to understand some things. That's how why we teach right division. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, starting September the 6th, we'll be going to 10 o'clock services. Instead of 10:30, okay, that means you had to leave at 8 o'clock instead of 9:30. We decided to do that at 10 o'clock in the morning. I may be gone, but wherever I'm at, I plan on doing a message, whether it's on a creek bank, whether it's on a mountaintop, or whether it's at a tabletop or back of my pickup truck. I'm planning on doing it maybe back here. I don't know. But anyway, we'll be doing a message, and then September 11th and 12th is Ridge Farm Bible Conference, and I think that's going to continue to go. We'll keep you updated on that. But you also on our website, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org, you can find these messages there, audio and video. For those who don't have Facebook or YouTube, that it's there that you punch and pulls up. But it's good seeing everybody, and until next week, may the Lord richly bless you.